Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is my personal opinion that Advent has some of the best music of the entire church year. In fact, my favorite hymn in our hymnal is an Advent hymn. We have already sang quite a few this morning. Hark the glad sound, we have not sung yet, but we will in the coming weeks. We sing it as we anticipate the coming of Jesus. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. We opened our service with that one. But singing about glad sounds and thrilling voices really is not enough. We must be willing to listen to that glad and thrilling voice. And what does it sound like? Well, the glad and thrilling voice in our text this morning sounds something like this. You brood of vipers, produce fruits worthy of repentance. Share your clothing and your food. Don't cheat others. Be content with what you get paid. You're probably thinking, well, I thought it was supposed to be a glad sound. I thought it was supposed to be a thrilling voice. But when you actually listen to John the Baptist, sounds a lot like he's preaching at us, doesn't it? And no one likes to be preached at. We're not big fans of people standing up and telling us that we're bad people and we need to change the things that we do. That sounds preachy, you might say. And to the sinful human heart, there's nothing worse than being preached at. Who does this guy think he is? Telling me what to do. That's how the sinful heart hears it and reacts to it. However, faith, granted and created by the Holy Spirit, hears something different when the Word of God is preached. Faith hears of a better way of life. Faith hears of a coming king and a new kingdom to live in. Faith hears of a merciful king who does not condemn us for our sins and our weaknesses, but rather he is also the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Faith hears that this king has come to raise us up to the newness of life. Faith hears a glad sound, and faith hears a thrilling voice. Fellow saint and sinners, here this morning in this Advent season, we have a chance to confess that God's ways are better than our ways, that our lives are lacking, that our Savior comes and forgives our sins and leads us to a better way of life. Grating and irritating to the sinful heart, but a glad and thrilling sound to faith. So this morning, we hear that glad and thrilling voice as John begins his ministry. You brood of vipers. John was not very much of a charmer in his early days, that's for sure. Well, hello there. Nice to see you. Welcome in. I'm glad you came. It's probably what you would expect to hear if you were coming out to listen to what John had to say. Calling people the offspring of poisonous snakes? Not so much. In Matthew's gospel, John is making the accusation against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But here in Luke, John is calling out the entire crowd that has come to see him with that stinging accusation. This morning, John also aims that sharp accusation at us as well. You brood of vipers. A way of calling us offspring of the ancient serpent Satan. Why would he treat his guest in such a manner? Who does he think he is to say such thing, this wild-looking man from the wilderness? See, John was the messenger sent by God to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus, by leading them to repentance and the forgiveness of their sins. Calling people to repentance is what John is doing in the accusation, "You brood of vipers." For there is no path to repentance that does not run through the recognition that brood of vipers truly describes me. It's not hyperbole. It's not colorful language. It's not exaggeration for effect. It's the truth. I was, in my sinfulness, a child of the devil. The sin that encapsulates my nature and runs through my veins is vile, poisonous, and deadly. Because of my sinfulness, I deserve no more kindness or mercy from God than would be shown to a poisonous snake that shows up in your backyard. The repentance that John calls all to is a repentance that looks at our sin as repulsive and horrifying. A repentance that says, "I am a poor, miserable sinner." Repentance does not look upon sin with indifference or amusement, and certainly not pride, as if to glorify our shame. Repentance looks inwards and agrees, "Yes, I am a brood of vipers." It may have been a harsh greeting there by the river. Many teachers of the law, many Pharisees, many of the just regular people turned away, refusing to hear John's message. But some stayed. They owned the label that was put upon them, and in repentance heard the good news of forgiveness of their sins and were baptized. But it doesn't stop there. John says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." It's a warning that true repentance and forgiveness is the only escape from the severe judgment that is about to come. Simply going through the motions without a genuine repentance will not save them. Simply being a child of Abraham is not enough. The judgment is coming. The axe is at the root of the tree. Only through true repentance and forgiveness will sinners escape the wrath to come. Our own confessions are very clear on this point. They declare that good fruit, that is, good works of every kind in life, should follow repentance. Furthermore, there is no inner repentance unless it also produces the outward turning away from sinning. Apology 12 states, this is what John meant when he said, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Yet it is also extremely important to remember that John's message is described as good news, not bad news. And just a few verses after today's gospel, we read, "With many exhortations, John preached good news to the people." And the good news is that whoever does repent of their sins finds forgiveness as a free gift from God. A free gift that does not depend on our works or good fruit, but rather depends on the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So then, hearing this from John, the people ask, "What then shall we do?" The people there are so excited. They had repented of their sins. They had received forgiveness from God himself as John baptized them in the river. Hearts relieved and exuberant, they begged John, "Now what? What shall we do now that God has welcomed us into his kingdom?" John replies, "Whoever has two coats is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food, do likewise." Even tax collectors and sinners were there. "What should we do?" they said, as if acknowledging that those two professions were notoriously dishonest. Even these, men who made a living out of dishonesty, stealing, and harassment, were changed by John's call to repentance. With gratitude filling their hearts, they wanted to know what things they could do to be worthy of such great forgiveness. John's answer is the same as to the others. Good fruits of repentance and faith changes people's daily lives. Shows others, he says, show others the same kind of generous and merciful love that God has shown to you. By faith, we too desire to live lives worthy of our great Savior, worthy of the great salvation which has been proclaimed and been given to us. Not that our lives of themselves are worthy of the Lord. We will never bear enough good fruit in our lives that we can say, there, now, that's the kind of life worthy of God. All Christians, every one of us, will fall short. That's why we live in repentance. And that is why our confidence and our trust must always be in Jesus alone. This Advent, then, we listen anew to the glad and thrilling message of John the Baptist. The Savior is near. The kingdom is near. Repent and live out your new life in Jesus. Produce fruits worthy of repentance. To some, it sounds very preachy. But by faith, we bow in repentance, we behold the mercy of Jesus, and we gladly reply, "What then shall we do?" Amen.